Please open your Bibles to John chapter 14 and verses 1 through 3. John chapter 14 and verses 1 through 3. And this will be our text for our lesson this morning. You know, our family and I, we like to go different places. Sometimes we've ventured over to the northeast. Sometimes we've ventured over to the northwest. We've done some vacations over the past 15 or so years to different places in the world. We've been to Maine, to a national park up there, Acadia National Park. We've been to the Northwest, to the Olympic National Park. And we've been to Yellowstone National Park several times. We enjoy going there. And we've also been to the Grand Canyon. And the Grand Canyon is one of my favorite places. It's so beautiful and it's so vast. And you really do get a sense of awe and majesty when you visit there. And the Grand Canyon made such an impression upon me the first time that I went, and I wrote some sermons relative to it, and this is one of the sermons that I wrote, and the sermon is titled "How Heaven Is Like the Grand Canyon." And if you've ever been to the Grand Canyon, I think you can understand a little bit about what I'm talking about. It is a beautiful place. The opportunities to walk and to hike and to be among nature are just wonderful. And the Grand Canyon is such a lovely place to visit. And you may be thinking, well, how in the world is heaven like the Grand Canyon? And I'll be explaining that in just a moment. But before we do, let's look at John chapter 14 and verses 1 through 3 as we think about the topic of heaven this morning. And Jesus had some things to say about that when he said these words: "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Jesus is encouraging the disciples in this context because he is about to go away. He is about to be betrayed and then crucified, and he is going to die. And this is going to cause the disciples some concern and some depression. But he wants them to know that they will be with him again. And not only will he be with them again, but he is going to prepare a place where they can come and be with him forever. The place where the disciples will be with Jesus is in fact that place that Jesus is preparing for them. And one day he's going to return and he's going to bring us to that wonderful place. And most often we use the word heaven to describe this place and to talk about it. Heaven is a wonderful place, as the song says, and we all want to go there. We all want to be there. We sang about heaven a little bit this morning, "Sing and Be Happy." And one of the things that we said was when we'll get there, we'll experience wonderful things, joy and happiness and peace and contentment, never to be interrupted again by the problems of sin in this life. Well, as we look about heaven this morning, I would like to illustrate some of the truths about heaven with the Grand Canyon. Not to say that the Grand Canyon is heaven, not to say that it is anything close to heaven for that matter, but there are some truths about the Grand Canyon that I believe illustrate very well some concepts about heaven. Well, how is heaven like the Grand Canyon? Well, first of all, it's grand. It's big. It's beautiful. It's spectacular. And so also is heaven. When I think about the Grand Canyon, I think about just that majestic view. You know, from one end of the Grand Canyon to the other is hundreds and hundreds of miles. And to go across it, even at the narrowest place, is several miles. And at the widest place, it's around 15 to 20 miles. And that's as the crow flies. That's not if you're hiking or driving or anything like that. You see, the Grand Canyon is grand. And that's why they call it the Grand Canyon. Well, heaven is grand. Heaven is grander and bigger and better than anything that this world has to offer, and certainly the Grand Canyon. But think about heaven, first of all, as being grand because that's the place where God lives. And I want to be with God forever, don't you? In Psalm 11 and verse 4, we read, "The Lord is in His holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, His eyelids try the children of men." The Lord's throne is in heaven. That's where He lives. And that's where I want to be with Him eternally. Heaven is a place that is full of wonderful beauty. In fact, it's so beautiful that John, when he describes it in John chapter 20 and verses 18 through 27, uses all these different kinds of beautiful stones and precious stones to describe heaven, such as jasper and gold and clear glass and precious stones, pearls. All of these things describe heaven, its beauty and its wonder. And heaven is full of spectacular blessings. Listen to what John says in Revelation 21 and verses 1 through 4. He says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away.'" Yes, wonderful blessings await for us in heaven because heaven is grand. How is heaven like the Grand Canyon? Secondly, there's no cheap way to get across. You know, whether one walks or drives or rents a helicopter, it's going to cost you something to get to the other side of the Grand Canyon. I've walked down one side of the Grand Canyon to a certain point. We didn't walk halfway, but we walked down to the bottom of that part of the canyon, and it was a long walk, and it was so hard to get out of there. It cost us something, an enormous amount of effort in order to get down and then to get back up out of that canyon. It took us several hours in order to accomplish this. To drive around the Grand Canyon is something like 100 and almost 200 miles. It costs something to get to the other side. To go across by helicopter is going to cost you something. You're going to have to pay for that helicopter. You're going to have to pay for the man who is flying that helicopter. There's no cheap way to get across. And there's no cheap way to get to heaven either. The price of access to heaven is the blood of God's Son, Jesus. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verses 19 through 20, we read, "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh. For through Him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father." Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 18. That precious blood of Jesus was shed on the cross so that we can have forgiveness of sins and thereby have access to heaven and one day be in heaven with God for eternity. There is no cheap way to get to heaven. How is heaven like the Grand Canyon? Well, there are many who just want to admire the view. You know, when you go to the south rim of the Grand Canyon, there's all kinds of hotels there. There's all kinds of restaurants there. There's a big campground, several campgrounds there. In fact, all wonderful amenities. And most people, parking lots galore, by the way, and most people who are passing through, they go through, they park, they get out, they look at the Grand Canyon, and that's all they ever do. They just look at it. And they want to admire the view. And it is a beautiful view. Don't get me wrong. Heaven is a beautiful place. And it's a beautiful view too. But we want to do more than just admire the view. According to census polls, over 90% of Americans believe in heaven. They like the idea of heaven. They admire the view, so to speak. But they don't live their lives in a way that will get them there. What needs to be done is not simply to admire the view, but to enter it through the way that Jesus has provided for us. Jesus said in Matthew 7, verse 21, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven." You see, we've got to do the Father's will. We've got to be converted. Matthew chapter 18, verse 3 says, "Verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, you cannot enter to the kingdom of heaven." We've got to be born again. John chapter 3 and verse 5, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven." If we want to get to heaven, we've got to do more than just admire the view. Heaven is like the Grand Canyon because the way to the other side is narrow and few go there. How do you get to the other side? You can walk. It's about 8 to 10 miles. The hike usually takes about 3 days, and the path is narrow, curvy, and difficult. One may drive in a car about 200 miles. It takes 4 to 5 hours to get from the campground of the south rim to the campground of the north rim. And that's not even access to the whole of the north of the Grand Canyon. But the road to get there is narrow, difficult, and curvy. The way to heaven is also narrow and straight. And few, and difficult, and few will go there. In Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14, Jesus said this, "Enter ye in at the straight gate," a straight, a narrow way, "for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leads unto life, and few there be that find it." Yes, all kinds of people go to that south rim to visit. Tens of thousands of people, hundreds of thousands of people, perhaps even millions of people a year go there. But to get to the other side, you've got to take that narrow way, one way or another. Consider Luke chapter 13 and verses 23 and 24. "Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, Strive to enter in at the straight gate," or the narrow gate. "For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able." Yes, we need to enter that narrow gate if we want to get to the other side. Another way that the Grand Canyon or heaven is like the Grand Canyon is that you've got to go to the water to get to the other side. You know, the Grand Canyon is divided by the Colorado River. It runs right through the middle of it. And it's very deep. In fact, it's several miles just straight to the bottom. Or maybe a mile, over a mile to the bottom of the Grand Canyon. The south rim of the Grand Canyon stands at a 7,000 foot elevation. The north rim of the Grand Canyon stands at an 8,000 foot elevation. And the bottom of the Grand Canyon is somewhere around 2,000 feet or something like that. So you're looking at a tremendous descent. But you've got to go to the river. You see, the river is at the bottom. And somehow you've got to get across that river. You've got to go to the water. And to get to heaven, we've got to go to the water as well. And I'm speaking about the waters of baptism. The verse that we noted earlier in John chapter 3 and verse 5, Jesus said, "Except you be born of the water and the Spirit, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven." Born of the water, we've got to be baptized if we want to go to heaven. You know, there's several passages that discuss this. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. Acts chapter 22 and verse 16. Romans chapter 6 verses 1 through 11. Galatians 3:27. Colossians 2, 11 through 13. 1 Peter 3 and verse 21. You know, no one in the judgment day is going to be able to say, "Lord, you just didn't tell me about baptism." He did. He said it, and we need to do it. Because we believe in Him, because we believe in His power to save us, we will be obedient to Him. Now, just because you go to the water doesn't necessarily mean you're going to get to the other side. We've got to finish the journey. And the same is true for the Grand Canyon. You get down to the water, and you're only halfway there. You still got a long way to go to get to the other side. And you've got to be faithful to that walk in order to get to the destination. The Hebrew writer says, "Wherefore, seeing we're also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." Hebrews 12 and verse 1. We have a race to run. We have a walk to walk. And we as Christians must run that race and walk that walk faithfully if we want to get to the other side. Heaven is like the Grand Canyon in this. If you hike the trail, you're going to need food and drink. Nourishment. Oh yes, when we hiked down that path in the Grand Canyon, we took a lot of water with us. They had water on the way, and I was thankful for that. Did you know that? There's water on this main trail in the Grand Canyon. Every so often you come across a little faucet, and you can get water out of it. And that's helpful. That's very helpful when you're hiking the Grand Canyon. And we filled our jugs more than once, I'll tell you that. And you also need something to eat. You're burning a lot of calories, a lot of energy you're expending. And you need some of that energy. Well, the Bible tells us for us to finish our spiritual journey that we've got to hunger and thirst after righteousness. Matthew chapter 5, verses 6 and 7. We need that bread of life, which is Jesus. In John 6 and verse 51, where He said, "I am the living bread, and came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." We need Jesus in our life. We need the water of life. And the Spirit and the bride say, "Come," and let him that heareth say, "Come," and he that is athirst, let him come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Revelation 22 and verse 17. We need that spiritual water. We need that spiritual food if we're going to sustain the journey that is before us. Heaven is like the Grand Canyon. We need food and drink to get across. And then finally, heaven is like the Grand Canyon in this respect. You've got to pass through the valley to get to the other side. Life is such a series of deepening valleys in so many ways. There is the valley of trials that we must go through. In 1 Peter 1 and verse 7, Peter writes that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Our faith is going to be tried in this life. We've got to pass through the valley of trials. There's also the valley of temptation. And sin is going to come our way, and it is going to rear its ugly head, and it's going to tempt us to give in. But James says, in James chapter 1 and verse 12, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love Him." But I think probably the greatest trial that we face within this life, the greatest valley that we must traverse as we pass through this life, is the valley of death. The psalmist wrote, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For Thou art with me, Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me." And anyone who passes through this life is going to have to deal with death. And then finally, with our own death. And so, heaven is like the Grand Canyon in the sense that you've got to pass through the valley to get to the other side. But what waits on the other side is glorious. And when you get to the other side of the Grand Canyon and look down on what you've accomplished, it is a wonderful thing. Even just to get down a little bit and get back up. After we got back up, I was like, "I'm so glad to be here." And Mary Lynn was sitting there waiting in the car for us. It was Austin and Charlie and me when we did that hike. And it was so refreshing to see the car and to sit down on a nice cushiony seat, you know, and to get back to the campsite. And you know what? My feet were killing me when I got back up. They were just hurting. But just a few moments of refreshment, and they felt so much better, so much better. You know, heaven's going to be like that. When we've gone through all the valleys in this life, when we've endured all the trials and temptations, and when we've faced death and we come through to the other side, it's going to be so wonderful to be there. Heaven, how is it like the Grand Canyon? It's grand. It's wonderful. It's glorious. It's going to be great. Heaven is like the Grand Canyon in that there's no cheap way to get across. You've got to pay the price. And Jesus has paid the price for us. Heaven is like the Grand Canyon. Well, there are many who just want to admire the view. But we need to do more than that. We need to take that narrow path and go there. Heaven is like the Grand Canyon. We've got to go to the water to get to the other side. And if you go, you're going to need some food and drink to sustain you along the way. And finally, heaven is like the Grand Canyon because you've got to go through those valleys to get to the other side. But once you get there, you're going to appreciate it so much more. There's an old spiritual that talks about heaven. It's called Roll Jordan. And in this song, one of the main thoughts is, I want to go to heaven when I die. Don't you want to be there? Don't you want to be in heaven with God and Christ and all your faithful brothers and sisters who are going to be there for all eternity with one another? It's going to be a great place. It's going to be a great time. Don't doubt that. You know, some people doubt that. They think, oh, heaven, it's going to be so boring. I'm not going to enjoy myself. No, no, no. You're going to enjoy heaven. Trust me. God is going to make it enjoyable. And it's going to be better than anything that you've ever seen in this life. Believe me. You want to be there. You want to go there. Why not make the start today? By becoming a child of God. Hearing His Word and believing it. Repenting of sin. Confessing Jesus. Being baptized. And begin that journey. Begin that walk. Get to the other side. So that we can all be there together. Do you need to make things right with God this morning? Come back to Him. Why not do that this very hour as we all try to go to heaven together while we stand and while we sing?